You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
You're listening to Wicked Horror Show. This episode was broadcast live to Facebook. We were honored to be joined by our very special guest, Miss Lisa Wilcox. You know her as Alice from Nightmare on Elm Street 4 and 5. Such kick-ass movies. She literally kicked Freddy's ass. Good times. We talked to Lisa about portraying Alice in those movies, as well as her time off from horror and her return. So yeah, check out the show. It's a good one. And as always, if you like what you hear, go to facebook.com/thedorkening every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show just like this one with open chat and the chat rooms. We're all over the place. Just go check out the show. I'm about to play the intro music. Enjoy the show. With that, we have Kevin.
It's enough about me. Let's get on to everyone else so we can talk to our guests.
Okay. Lisa Wilcox, hello.
Hi.
And the camera's out of order because there she has Wolfie's name. We have Wolfie here.
Oh!
And the rest of the gang, we have Tony and Yo-Yo.
What's going on, people?
Yeah. Oh, that was quick. All right. So anyways.
Well, we know cameras are messed up. Time's up for the essence.
Yeah, exactly. So Lisa Wilcox, you've been in a lot of stuff, but what you're most known for, at least in the horror community, would have to be Nightmare on Elm Street 4 and 5, where you played Alice.
Yes.
That's a huge, huge deal. Huge deal. It's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Absolutely.
Growing up, Nightmare was my jam. You know, I as I got older, some of the later ones don't hold up as well, but there's that core, you know, group at the beginning, which are just great. I just rewatched them to get myself more familiar with them again between yesterday and today. And yeah, great storylines, great effects, great kills. What was your experience like working on this? Like, was this the biggest thing you'd done at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I had only done maybe like a Hardcastle McCormick guest star, General Hospital, Young and the Restless. I did do a movie during college called The Big Cheer, which was later on renamed to Give Me an F. And then Nightmare on Elm Street. So definitely my first lead in a feature film. Absolutely. And it was, what a role, first of all, to play with Alice, just because with her character arc, you know, from meek and shy daydreamer, and then to where to evolve, you know, into, you know, kick ass Freddy, right?
Oh, yeah, so definitely. It
was a dream role as a performer, for sure. And it was a great experience on set, for sure. I mean, all the gals, all the guys, the whole cast, we are all really good friends. Like, I would give them a kidney if they needed one, you know. Tuesday Knight and I actually, we started a business called Toe Brights. We did that for 8 or 9 years. Brooke Thies, her son was the same age as my youngest son, and we would go bowling and hang out. Toy Newkirk, who played Sheila, we're really good friends. In fact, she lived with me for about a year when she moved from New York back to Los Angeles. Rodney Eastman, I go see him play in his band. You know, it's just amazing. So really, really good experience.
That's awesome. It's good to see that, like, that, you know, it kind of comes across, but you became friends on the movie. So then you continued the friendship. But that's great.
We really did have that chemistry. Yeah. That you see on screen, you see that chemistry. I mean, that was real. That was absolutely real. And Josh Jones too, played my brother. Oh, we're friends. In fact, he was my manager for a while. And I hate to say this, but my computer is saying my battery is running low at 10% because I had to move my screen. So I have to move this over. Here we go.
That's completely fine.
I wasn't prepared for the video thing. So sorry, kids.
That's completely fine. We'd rather have you on. Doesn't matter. You know,
okay, I'm just a few years younger than her. I'm not a kid.
And there's no light. I don't know what the lighting's like over here.
It looks fine.
Okay. I don't have my fan though, but it's very hot here, you guys. It's crazy hot. Okay.
If we take a minute, like, I don't know if we have any trailers or anything, Leo, but if there's a minute, like, in a little bit, you know, so that way if she needs to move her fan or something.
Okay.
We'll figure that out. But anyways.
Yep.
I can move this back over there and plug it in over there.
Well, tell you what, let me find the trailer to give us a couple minutes.
Okay. So you have a trailer?
I'm going to find one.
Okay. So while he's finding a trailer.
Show my YouTube. Show one of my Go to Lisa Wilcox Actress. Could show a YouTube video, one of my YouTube things, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So going into Nightmare, were you a fan of like the earlier Nightmares before you came aboard?
Absolutely. I've been a horror fan since I was yay tall. I mean, I love the first novel I ever read was Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula. And I loved horror films, absolutely. Even the good old black and white ones as a kid, watching them on Saturday afternoons, you know?
Yeah.
So believe me, I was so thrilled to get the opportunity to audition even for a Nightmare on Elm Street movie. So, yeah.
And then getting such a major role. I mean, in both movies, it was in both 4 and 5, you were it. You know, it started off more about Tuesday in the first one, but then you quickly took over like in 4, and it was, again, it's one I haven't watched in a while, to be honest with you. I hadn't watched them in a while, and I was like, oh yeah, there's some really cool kills in this one and some really memorable stuff. Yeah.
I think the kills are great. I love the kills. And so I love the kills in 3. Dream Warriors. I love Dream Warriors. And I think the kills, in 4 are pretty awesome too. Yeah.
Yeah. Even like how Freddy gets brought back in 4. It's just great.
The dog.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So I know you're some years younger than me, Kevin. Was there any chance you saw this in the theater when it came out? Or were you just wait?
I didn't see any of these in the theater.
Okay.
I think it was more of my parents wouldn't let me kind of deal. So I saw a lot of them on cable, and I rented a lot of them.
Yeah.
And then I had them all on VHS, then I had them all on DVD, and now I have them all on Blu-ray. So.
Yeah, I don't have them all on Blu-ray yet, but I'm with you on the other ones.
Yeah. But it's something that, I rented them quite a bit, and to the point where it's just like, all right, I might as well just buy these because I'm renting them so much. I'm spending enough money. And, there's I don't know. He was where it's at when I was a kid. You know, even like the TV series, I would watch it just because he'd be in the intro kind of thing. You know, Freddy was my jam. You know, growing up for sure.
John, yay! Yeah.
I do have two videos prepped. This is from Lisa's YouTube show. She has some shorts. This is her intro to YouTube, and I also have the Elm Street House as well. So just a couple minutes just so we can re-coordinate items. And
And there's the Johnson house too. That one's pretty funny.
Okay.
Just saying.
I'll pull that down. So you may get 3. Here we go.
Hey, all you Nightmare on Elm Street fans, I'm Lisa Wilcox, and I played Alice Johnson in Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master, and Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child. And what am I doing here? Yes, I have the Hollywood sign behind me. I live here in Hollywood, in Los Angeles, and I have this idea to revisit locations where we actually filmed Nightmare on Elm Street 4. And I want to share it with all of you. So anyway, I hope you enjoy this fun little walk down Nightmare on Elm Street 4 memory lane.
Yeah.
Hey, all you Nightmare on Elm Street fans, I'm Lisa Wilcox, and I played Alice Johnson in Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master, and Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child. And what am I doing here? Yes, I have the Hollywood sign behind me. I live here in Hollywood, in Los Angeles, and I have this idea to revisit locations where we actually filmed Nightmare on Elm Street 4. And I want to share it with all of you. So anyway, I hope you enjoy this fun little walk down Nightmare on Elm Street 4 memory lane.
Nobody lives here.
Where's Freddy?
He's not home.
Hello. La 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 la. See some birds. Hi. Today we are at the Nightmare on Elm Street house on Genesee here in Los Angeles. And it's a beautiful day, and I thought, why not do a little chalk, sidewalk chalk drawings, right? Like in Nightmare 4, when the little girl is doing her chalk drawing. But I didn't put Freddy in this one. How about, here's Alice. Let's go take a look at the house. Hi, okay, so I finished my chalk drawing, and we are looking at the house over my shoulder here. And this is the real life Nightmare on Elm Street house. And notice there's trash cans in front. So yeah, like real people actually do live here. And for a mere almost $10.8 million. Mm-hmm. And we're right by Sunset Boulevard, which is right there. I can see Sunset Boulevard, the sign. And so a little story about in Nightmare 4, remember the facade, the decrepit Nightmare Elm Street house, right? It's all decrepit and yucky, and it's me and Kristen and Danny, and we meet at this house, and Rick, my brother, and of course the famous scene, Andale, Andale. That facade, it was just the front that they built on an empty lot right around in this area, and they just rented the lot, and they built this facade of the Nightmare on Elm Street house. So anyway, but here it is. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, we have one more video to show for you. This is Lisa Wilcox's YouTube show, and we have one more video to show, just 3 minutes, 53 seconds. Then we're going to be back live with Lisa. We want to thank everybody for joining us. So I see a ton of people here watching.
And ask your questions. Ask your questions in the chat room.
So make sure you have your questions ready. We're going to show one more video. Check out Lisa's YouTube channel, but we have a bunch of notes down below, up above, depending on where you're watching it, where you can follow Lisa and see her return to horror. And obviously, you know, we're going to be talking about Nightmare on Elm Street as well. So here we go, last video, and then we're going to be back in just a couple minutes with Lisa.
Hey, all you Nightmare on Elm Street fans, I'm Lisa Wilcox, and I played Alice Johnson in Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master, and Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child. And what am I doing here? Yes, I have the Hollywood sign behind me. I live here in Hollywood, in Los Angeles, and I have this idea to revisit locations where we actually filmed Nightmare on Elm Street 4. And I want to share it with all of you. So anyway, I hope you enjoy this fun little walk down Nightmare on Elm Street 4 memory lane.
What'd you wish for?
If I tell you, it won't come true.
Make a wish. Did you make a wish? I did, but I can't tell you what it is or it won't come true. Hi there, it's Lisa again. Alice Johnson. We are at the final scene in Nightmare on Elm Street 4 here at the Fountain, and here we are in Griffith Park, and as you can see, the Fountain has seen better days, like in 1988. This is now 2016. There is DWP wandering around here, so maybe they're trying to fix the poor thing. It's the drought. I don't know. But anyway, this is so surreal, though, because seriously, this feels like the scene I did it like last weekend. It's pretty wild. I want to tell you something. Okay, the bracelet. Yes. Now, remember the handoff that Debbie does at the cemetery, and she gives me the bracelet? Well, we actually did that insert here at this Fountain location. And if you notice, okay, this bracelet is a very authentic what Debbie really wore, the bracelet, okay? But you'll notice in the insert, she hands me this sort of like black bracelet thing with like flat silver pieces on it, not like this. Anyway, just, you know, when you rewatch the movie, you'll maybe catch that. And of course there were sprinklers going on because that's what we were dealing with at the cemetery, and there were sprinklers going on here, well, in 1988, not now. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this little tidbit, and thanks for joining me, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
And we are back. Thank you all for tuning in. I see a ton of you watching, and we're going to try to get to everybody's questions and throw it over to Yo-Yo.
Sure. Throw it over to me.
Okay.
Well, a few things, actually, I wanted to bring up. You were in one of my favorite shows. There are three episodes. Anybody want to guess?
Well, I looked at IMDb, so I think I know.
Yeah.
Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
You're in three episodes of Boy Meets World. That's actually where my...
Totally.
My site is actually named after that show.
So. Oh my gosh. That was so much fun. The young man who played the lead, Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
Ben Savage.
Yeah.
Fred Savage.
He would babysit for us.
Oh, really?
He would babysit my kids. Yes. Yes. His parents were very grounded, and you know, he had gotten an allowance, and when he needed to make money, he would babysit. So yeah, he would come to our house and babysit my two boys.
When he needed to make money.
He's like on the
number one rated show on ABC, but when he needed to make money.
But if they were grounded parents, they did the right thing and kept it in savings for him. And
I know.
That's right. And he's a lovely man. He's absolutely lovely. Grown up to be a fine young man.
Besides that, you said there was a comment.
Oh yes, Harrison Smith said he is still looking forward to working with you.
Great. It would be about time, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's a movie, right, that's coming out pretty soon that has some really top notch actors in it.
Death House.
Death House, yeah. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, he's a really good guy.
Hi, Harrison.
Yeah.
Hi.
Really talented director and writer as well. So very nice guy too. So it'd be awesome to see you in one of his projects for sure.
Cool.
Just a side note, Harrison will actually be on the 25th of August after, no, 25th next week, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Right after the Bianca Brady episode.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool.
Double show next week, so it'll be busy.
Yeah.
Gotta get my sleep. But anyways, so you were doing the Nightmare movies, and that's kind of what made you a household name in horror. You took a break after a while, right? You took a little time away.
Yes.
What happened there?
Well, I had my kids, and so, you know, they started school, and I really wanted to be involved, room mom, and the field trips, and, you know, I wanted to be around, you know, when they got home after school and whatnot. So I chose to do family for a while, and then they got a little bit older, and then Tuesday Night and I actually started a company called Toe Brights that we did for about 8 or 9 years. And it, when you have your own business, you are kind of working 7 days a week, but at least I'm my own boss, right? So I could go and leave and go pick the kids up from school and get them settled. And then, you know, I had that flexibility. and our business really flourished for a number of years. It was a great experience. But now, as of last year, 2016, I have come back to acting like full time, 100%. So
that's awesome.
It's great to be back.
So you were saying that horror was kind of your first love, because we had some guests on that pretty much they got into horror just to, you know, get some acting jobs. Was there something that you, was there a certain movie you watched that got you into horror that you watch and you're like, I want to do this? Or,
oh gosh, probably the good old black and white Frankenstein, Frankenstein's Bride, Dracula, The Creature from the Black Lagoon. I just loved that stuff. And then later on in the theater, like The Fog, and I just loved horror. And then even Nightmare on Elm Street, I was a huge fan. I saw the first one, second one, third one, you know, and just it's just always appealed to me, even since I was a little girl. So I don't know why. And Halloween is my favorite holiday.
Same here. Yes. Same here. I don't take vacations during the summer, but I always take one right around Halloween because I want to go to all the haunted attractions. I want to go to like the jack-o'-lantern thing.
Oh, so much fun.
I want to be home to pass out candy because I don't want to be that guy.
But in all fairness, he says all this, yet he's never been to Salem.
I live in Massachusetts, and I've never been to Salem.
Oh, I want to go to Transylvania.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was really into vampires and whatnot. Even in college, I had vampire posters on my side of the wall in the dormitory, whereas my roommate had like The Boss, you know, and rock bands on her side. You know, I was the creepy girl. What can I say?
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that at all. I was the creepy guy, so that's cool. So just out of curiosity, I know, you know, there was a reboot, a Nightmare on Elm Street reboot. Did you see the reboot?
Well, now don't shoot me, guys, but yes, I did see it. In fact, I was invited to the premiere on the Hollywood Boulevard at the Chinese Theater. So I went really just to support the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, you mm-hmm. know? So I did see it, yes.
And what did you think of it? Did you like it? Did you hate it?
It was too visceral for me. I didn't like the depths that they took the Freddy Krueger character to, and the school, the little school and the room. And it was too much like, you know, watching the 6 o'clock news, you know what I mean? Yeah. It was like, oh my gosh. And I'm surprised they didn't use more, CGI, since that wasn't really available in the 80s, you know, and now they had an opportunity to utilize this, and they really didn't. I like the scene in the bedroom when it snows in that scene. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just, I love the actor, Jackie Earle Haley. He's an amazing actor. And if anyone could have played Freddy Krueger, it would have been him. But it's just, for me, just Robert Englund embodies that character, the motion, his sort of seductive way with the glove, and he's Freddy Krueger, you know, yeah. And I just don't think anyone can ever replace him.
I agree. I didn't absolutely hate the remake.
Right.
I didn't love it, but
yeah.
It was a different thing altogether. It was just there wasn't the wittiness and the campiness of Freddy, you know, like there was no
exactly.
cute little jokes. You know,
yes, his wit, you know, his wit, you know, which is so fabulous.
Yeah.
You're still terrified of the guy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, too, I agree. The actor that played him in the remake, I think he's a great actor, and everything I've seen
him in. It just didn't feel the same to me.
Right. It didn't feel, well, How many of them?
And to no fault of his own, really. I don't think.
The thing that bugged me about the remake was the look of the makeup. It was just off through the whole film. I'm just watching it going, it just doesn't have the right texture, the right look.
Well, he actually looks like a burn victim as opposed to Freddy Krueger, like, still had his features and stuff.
It just kind of threw off the character for me.
Right. It was too different.
Yeah.
It was a different take, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It really was.
Interesting to hear about part four. Is part four, you mentioned her already, Brooke Thies. Is in part
what was
four.
That?
Brooke Thies?
Yes, Brooke Thies.
Yeah, she was in part four, but she was also Wendy Lubbock on Just the Ten of Us with Heather Langenkamp, who was in the first movie.
Yes, yeah, and Joanne Willett. And Joanne Willett, who was also in that show, she was in Nightmare 2 playing like the mean cheerleader girl. And here's something. Joanne Willett and I were theater majors. We went to UCLA together.
Oh, wow.
And we shared a mailbox because of our last name, Wilcox and Willett.
Oh.
And we became great friends in college. And then she had to leave and go back to Maine because of family issues and whatnot. And then we bumped into each other literally on the street, on the sidewalk. We hadn't seen each other in years. Anyway, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Small world.
I got a question. Being part of, you know, one of the major, you know, franchises out there, was there any competition between, like, the Nightmare on Elm Street people, like, cast and the Friday the 13th? You're, like, watching what everybody's doing and, like, have competition between everyone?
No. At least not on my end. I mean, what can I say? I mean, like, Kane Hodder. Okay, I adore Kane. We worked on Fear Clinic together, and we also worked on Watchers 4 with Mark Hamill. No, we're all one big family. We really are. You know, Daniel Harris worked with her in Fear Clinic. No, we're all like, mwah, we love each other. You know, we're family. It really
would have been fun if there was.
But I like the question.
It would have been fun if there was like a softball tournament between the Elm Street kids and, you know.
And the Haddonfield 8.
You know? I
would have watched that. I'm sure if there was one, it would have been on MTV, and I would have watched the crap out of that.
Well, you just made like a celebrity softball thing where you can,
oh,
you know,
I love it.
Bring donations and everything.
That's funny.
I would just do that just to see all these people playing softball. That'd be amazing.
Right.
And just real quick, Jason.
See how bad we are.
Jason McFiggin says, what's up, guys? Hi, Lisa. These videos are great fun. Thank you for doing them. And he also made a comment, which I can't see now. It'd be awesome to see her in Death House 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right, I'm writing that down.
Yeah.
Death House 2. Okay. I'm going to get my agent on that, man. You think I'm kidding? I'm writing this down.
Okay.
Okay.
So which, you and Tuesday night.
What's that?
I said you and Tuesday night.
Both in Death House 2.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. For sure.
So you say you're back in the genre. Which movies are you in now, currently?
Oh, currently, what am I working on? Okay. Well, I filmed for the first time in New York, which was really cool, and with Amanda Wiss, who is, of course, Freddy's first kill, Tina. And Amanda and I are really good friends. We live very close together. We see each other all the time. And we got to work on this film called The Watcher of Park Avenue. Really fun. I play this sort of very quirky, rude New York chick. It's really fun movie. And Amanda plays a detective. And it's more like a suspense film. I wouldn't say a horror film. Then I did something called The Quiet Room. And I play, it takes place in a psych ward. And I play a nurse. Not a nurse Ratchet. I'm actually a really cool nurse. Great, really great role to do. And I just saw the premiere of that. They did, well, a screening, cast and crew screening like last month. Came out really nice, and it definitely has horror written all over it. Nice. Then I've been doing a lot of commercials, actually. You may have seen me do the Pro Flowers Mother's Day commercial. Apparently they played the heck out of it, you know, and I did a Yamaha commercial filmed up in Washington and Oregon for a week. It was amazing. And did a Little Caesars commercial that'll be coming out. And I did, I've been just been really busy that way. And then coming up, I have something called Red Hollow, and that will, it'll be this year we'll film. And then another one in the fall called Mystery Spot. And that one is not horror. It's a mystery film. So all kinds of things coming up, plus all kinds of appearances. You know, there's a relatively large Nightmare on Elm Street reunion happening at Flashback Weekend, the first weekend of August this year in Chicago. Super excited for that. See all my pals, too. And then I have one in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm doing one in Rhode Island. Anyway, you can go to my website, and you'll see all my, you know, appearances that I'm doing. I have four more this year.
Well, so, we'll be at the one in Rhode Island, so we'll.
Oh, you will! Oh, great! Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a great show. It's huge.
Yeah. I've never been. I'm so excited. Oh, and I'm going to be in San Diego Comic-Con on Saturday, this coming Saturday, doing a wonderful panel with some amazing actors, and then we'll do some signings afterwards too. So, yeah, busy. It's busy.
So I want to remind everybody, if you check the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching it, since we stream to four different locations now, you'll find a link to Lisa's website that you can check out her upcoming events. And that actually brings up Derek's question. Will she be making any appearances at any conventions this summer? Also, Horror Show 3000. Did she have any martial arts training for Nightmare on Elm Street 4?
So, yes. Well, interesting. They did send me and my brother Andras Jones, who played my brother Rick, to a day. We got a day of karate training, and you know, it was just to ensure that, you know, I wouldn't knock myself out with the nunchucks, you know, because those things can hurt. They hit your head. I've done that. and of course, there's a stunt double who does, you know, the tough stuff, you know, but I had to have at least, you know, be able to do some in the mirror, you know, and then they throw in the professional to make me look really good, right? So yes, we did do that. Yes, a day. Nice.
And your conventions this summer, obviously you said Comic-Con this weekend, and
San Diego Comic-Con, then Flashback Weekend Chicago, then we have I can't remember. There's Lexington, Kentucky. I need to pull up my own website. Yeah.
Then you have Rhode Island, which is the one that we'll
and
be
Rhode Island, yes, yeah. Comic-Con, which I've never done before. And so, yeah, some really cool stuff. Oh, I'm doing one in called Alamo Comic-Con in Texas, too. That's, I think that one's in October. So, and I've never done that one either. So anyway, it's fun. I have so much fun at the conventions. It's so great to meet everyone, you know, to meet. And now as time has gone by, what's interesting is a lot of folks, the first Nightmare movie they saw in the theater is Nightmare 4. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah. It's definitely a memorable one for sure. I saw on YouTube. Sorry, go ahead.
I saw on YouTube they had a, what was it, Women of Nightmare on Elm Street or something. It was a big panel. I actually sat down and watched. It was very interesting and
learning
the stories behind. So, is there any crazy stories you have on set, like any memories that kind of stick with you, and you're like, "Oh, being there, you know, it brings me this brings me back to this story."
So the question kind of is like, any crazy things that happen on set?
Any craziness happened. Exactly.
Like anything, maybe, I don't know if you're getting at, like, anything that, like, you still remember, like, something may remind you of something from when you filmed those movies, like, something that still sticks with you.
Well, there was a scene that didn't make the film, A Nightmare 4, and I'm wearing a white nightgown, and I'm sleepwalking, and I go into downstairs and open the refrigerator, and blood pours out, and so how they did this, it was this container, you know, with a hose, and they sprayed me down with the blood, right? But it is the weirdest feeling to look at yourself in a white nightgown covered in what looks very much like blood. Very freaky. It was like this Carrie moment thing. You know what I mean? It was so creepy. So that stands out to me because you know, I've always loved horror, and so in the sense that I love it, not that I do love to be scared. But that was creepy. That was really creepy to see that on me.
And then it wasn't in the movie either. So it's like, it's not even something that everyone could share with you.
I know, it didn't end up being there, but I remember that scene. Another really wild thing happened. In Nightmare 4, okay, I'm in my armor, right? And I'm looking in the mirror, which the pictures have all been removed now. And I'm going to dive into the mirror and go save Danny, right? So this effect was done on a platform. It was about 3 feet off the ground. And then they had the mirror and they had it rigged with little explosives to make the mirror crack. Well, it was supposed to just crack. But anyway, he was a little too many explosives. So the mirror, action literally explodes. And I fell back off the platform. And thank God the stunt coordinator just happened to be there to catch me. And I had shards of, candy glass in my hair. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. It was terrifying. They actually sent me home that day to calm down because it was terrifying. Wow. So,
understandable.
Things, I wasn't hurt. It was just terrifying, So, things do happen on set, it can be, stuff happens, but overall, though, all the experience that I had have been great. So
what was anyway. Was that the take that they used in the movie?
I was actually thinking the same thing. What happened to that take? Like, is that like a feature somewhere, or is that like? I don't know. That'd be awesome to see that.
It would have, yes, but they changed how they were going to do the effect. They changed it. So anyway,
the actual look of real again. The real terror, like
yeah.
But then again, too, you also don't want to be known as a movie that's really trying to scare your people.
Yeah, really.
The first thing you're like is, am I cut? Am I, what I mean? Oh, God. So, but I wasn't. I was just emotionally battered that day a little bit. So, it's okay. Yeah.
When you got this role, was there anything you read the script, you look at it, you go, is there anything in the script where you go, okay, I'm not doing that? I mean...
in any script or Nightmare script?
For Nightmare 4.
No, everything was totally kosher. Yeah. And then in 5, I had the shower scene, but I had a body double for that because my thing was I'm just never going to do nudity. And then that's, in the 80s. Now it's like, oh my God, all the shows out there now. But yeah. Yeah, nudity is one thing, but no, I haven't said Nightmare 5, though, when I have a day where I'm, I look like Freddy, and I was, so excited, I'm going to have, Freddy makeup on. Oh, my gosh. So that was really fun, too. But it wasn't fun to wear, I'll have to say.
Yeah. It wasn't fun, yeah.
Well, you're just, one, Robert has the perfect face. I have cheeks and all this, so your face feels huge, because you've got this layer on. You feel like this big bobblehead, And then eating, with the lips and stuff. Oh, gosh, that was weird. But so I have to say I was pleased when I did get to take it off. They took it off me after 12 hours, 5 minutes, 32 seconds. I was ready for it. But when I read the script, I was like, cool, I get to have Freddy makeup on.
That's pretty awesome. No, were you able to get any kind of memorabilia from the sets? Were you able to take any kind of prop or anything? No.
No.
Oh, that's so sad. I would have been fired because I would have just been taking stuff.
I would have asked for the mold or whatever.
Prosthetic, yeah. If they put on your face.
I know.
I would have been fired because Freddie would have done his glove and it would have been a blade missing. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know where it is.
What green and red sweater?
Yeah.
I got to keep some of the wardrobe. I have the dress from the end of Nightmare 5. I do have that dress, which one day I will sell or auction off or something like that. And I did have a prop, a Crave Inn that just had the drawing on it, but I can't find that. I do have newspaper clippings and like all of that stuff from when it came out, but no, I don't have any. I don't really have any props. No.
You know the wicked so little baby carriage.
We do have we do have some questions, and okay. Actually, so Stephen Ingves is saying, "Hey guys, hey Lisa, I just joined. So if he just heard that you'll be in Scarefest in Lexington, Kentucky, he can't wait to meet you. He says he's coming.
Good.
He's coming down from CT to cover the convention for Horror Movie Freaks. Also, he says he met Robert. And also, just keep in mind, she's going to be in Rhode Island if you're here in Connecticut.
Yeah.
For Rhode Island Comic Con. Jason McFiggin says, Lisa, I absolutely love Clinger. Everybody needs everybody needs to check that out. Also, do you have any desire to write or direct or produce? And also, speaking of Clinger, check the show notes. I got a link. Clinger is available on Amazon Prime right now. So if you have Amazon Prime, I believe it's free. Just click on that. You can watch Clinger right after my show.
Yeah, it's such a fun little movie. I laugh. That's the movie when I read the script. I was laughing out loud. I was just like bursting. Oh, it was so funny. So yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I appreciate it. Cute movie.
So he was asking if you have any, you know, like if you're ever wanting to direct or produce or anything.
Right.
Like that.
I do like writing, and I am working on a children's book, actually. And I can't tell you the theme or anything like that yet, but it is in a horror genre, but as a children's book. So I'm liking that. And writing, definitely. Directing and all that, I really enjoyed directing in college. In fact, my professors would say, you know, Lisa, you know, I know you're focusing on your acting. We think you really should be a director. I was like, which was a huge compliment. And I do love directing, especially getting the performance you want out of the performer and the questions to ask them and just finding the way to get that performance. It's a lot of fun, but I don't know. Maybe in a decade, I'll look into that.
There you go.
Right now, I'm loving acting again.
So would you did theater and stuff when you were in school? Would you go back and do more theater, you think?
I would so love to do theater again. That was my training for 6 years, from like 16 doing Equity Waiver Theater, and then I was a theater major and graduated from UCLA. I love live performances. It's a roller coaster because just anything can happen and you have a live audience and it's just such a thrill ride, you know? But the thing is the dedication to the audition, you know, the rehearsals. And I just haven't been able to make it work while also filming, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like one or the other. I mean, maybe some winter time I could do a winter play when things are slower with film and stuff, but I do miss it a lot. I do miss theater. I go to see a lot of theater though.
Yeah. There's, I mean, you see some like horror icon actors, like will pop up and do theater and stuff. And it's, I've gone to see, I saw Tony Todd in a play and it was the like just how intense it was. And just it's a different experience seeing him act in person. And it's like, from a fan standpoint, I'm sure it would be a thrill for, you know, a giant fan of yours to see you on stage, you know, so it's something to think about. You know, I enjoy going to the theater as well. So it's something that, you know, if you were in a play in my area, I would totally go. But I don't know if you, I think it's a different animal because it's like you said, anything can happen. It's like a long form thing. Like from what I can understand with, you know, the making of movies, it's like, all right, do this one scene and then, okay, we're going to take a break and do this one. You know what I'm saying? So it's a whole story all at once kind of deal. I don't know. It's just, I total respect for the theater actors out there. A lot of them don't get the credit they deserve. There's a lot of, you know, small companies throughout the country.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know. I think it'd be cool to see you in a play.
Okay, you're encouraging me. You're titillating me. No, really, you know. I mean, I miss it. I so miss it. And it's true, the exploration of the play and the characters and that rehearsal process, because you don't get to rehearse nearly as much for film, you know. Just the depth that you go into the story and the character. I mean, it is it's the best. It really is. So, okay, I'm writing that down.
Well, no, because you know, think about it. Like, if you're doing a movie and something, you know, something falls off the wall, they're gonna cut and they're gonna reset it and you're gonna do it again. Mm-hmm. If it happens in a play, yeah. You gotta deal with it.
Well, she's got a story about that.
Okay.
She's got a story about that.
I do have a little story about that. The very first play that I ever did was called MASH, and like the TV show, and there is a play. And I had two scenes. I had a little role playing Ms. Randazzle, and I'm a secretary. And we did our scene, and then I have the boss. So it's me and the boss, right, is our scene. And it was really so that back curtain, they could be moving sets around and this and that. And we were like this sort of comic relief thing. So I'm walking on the proscenium, front of the curtain, and I'm got high heels, strappy sandal, high heels, a pencil skirt. I have my little steno pad and my pencil, you know, and I'm walking up and there are footlights, you know, on a stage, right? And they can be up showing light or they can be down. Well, they're supposed to be locked. Well, one of them wasn't locked. So I walk on it, center stage, it opens, my foot goes down. Before I know it, I have my strappy sandal is literally just hanging, dangling off my ankle down in this hole of the light thing. And there's 400 people watching. And the other actor and I, we start improvising. And he's like, had a little too much drink there, Ms. Randazzle. And I'm just looking at him like panicked. I can't get my shoe. I can't get. Anyway, backstage, they finally realized something was going on. And the actor who played Hawkeye, like, stuck his head out, literally center stage out of the curtain, looks down, and he saved me from the footlight. And I got untangled and proceeded with the scene. That's how that. So, yes, anything can happen.
Exactly, yeah.
So we do have a couple other questions that came in. So specifically, I believe they're mentioning Nightmare on Elm Street 5. In the scene where they kept on playing the same scene over and over and over again, was that looped or did you have to redo the scene each time?
We did the scene. We did that. Actually, each one, how many did we do? We probably did 12 takes of that, I would say, at least. Me running around and jumping in the truck. So he had a lot to choose from, you know. But did you all? I just think you probably all thought, okay, there's a glitch in the film. What's going on, right?
That's what I thought when I saw it.
I think the first time I saw it, I may have been like, what's going on here? And then like,
right?
Yeah. But now I expect it.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it too many times.
Right.
We have one other question, and I want to remind everybody we got a ton of people watching. So if you have questions, please feel free to post them in the comments. Wherever you're watching, Periscope, YouTube, Facebook, and we'll make sure that we try to get to everybody's question. But the next one is Stephen Chang is asking, so since you played such a badass in the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, do you have a favorite line from either of the films?
Oh, yes. Evil will see itself, and it shall die. And then I show the mirror to Freddy's face. He can look at his evilocity, and he explodes. Love that line.
Nice.
I love that line. Yeah.
That's a cool
line. And fucking A.
Yeah. who doesn't like that? That's my favorite line.
But that's
too,
really Ken's line. That's really Ken Sagos' line, you know, honestly. But I get to say it, too, so I don't know. And the scene at the school, beginning of the film, and remembering the rhyme. And can I quote that right now? I don't think I can. Sorry. But yeah, the evil will see itself and she'll die is my favorite line, probably.
Nice.
And fucking A.
And fucking A, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we are closing up on the 10 o'clock hour. This was a fast episode.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. So we're going to be wrapping up in a couple minutes here. So any last minute questions, just make sure you post them here. And anything else we need to cover here?
I don't know.
You guys go see Klinger, and I look forward to having my new projects coming out next year. So it's just great to be back.
Yeah, and also if you're going to go to a convention where she's going to be appearing, go buy an autograph, go meet her in person.
Yeah, come on down. I won't bite you.
Actually, didn't you mention on Wolfman's channel you are doing a double autograph with a poster?
That's
yes. Cool. The Watcher of Park Avenue, it's me and Amanda on the poster. It's this really cool sketched poster with a purple background. And I'm going to check my website to see if it's up yet. But we, Amanda and I are really good friends. We live close together. We see each other all the time. So I was like, let's, you know, because people were asking about buying the poster because we had posted it on Instagram and whatnot. So we talked to the director and he's like, yeah, yeah, cool. So you will be able to buy an autograph poster with me and Amanda's autograph on it. So just check my website, Lisa Wilcox stuff is.
Are you going to have those at cons as well?
We're planning to, yes, in Chicago, okay. Planning to have a few. Yes.
Okay. Well, if you have one in Rhode Island, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I may have to leave the question.
Speaking of the Watchers, we also have a link for, I believe, it's the Watchers Return, where you are alongside Luke Skywalker himself.
Yes. That was so nerve-wracking. Oh, my gosh. To meet him the first day of filming. Oh, my gosh. And I had all these lines to do. And I was just like, Lisa, don't screw up. This is Mark Hamill. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And then we even have like a kissing scene and stuff. And I was like, I mean, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. You have no idea. So, you know, what's great as an actor, you get to work with like these legends, you know, that I mean, I have a crush on even, you know.
I don't think I've ever heard anything negative about him as a person. Like, we, you know, there's a couple other actors and actresses that we know that have worked with him and they've all had nothing but good things to say about him. So that's awesome. That's, you know, that's huge too. Yeah. That's
he's
great.
So, such a sweetheart. I always have a crush on him.
Is there anybody that you haven't worked with that you would love to work with that, you know, you have a crush on?
Yeah, Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah.
Harrison Ford.
You're going to hit all the Star Wars cast. Peter Mayhew's next.
Harrison Ford, please. I did get to work with George Clooney on TV.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. A show called, let me think. Oh, what was it called? I can't remember it.
Was it the comedy ER as opposed to the drama ER?
It was before ER. It was before he was huge.
Yeah.
And he was a doll. Oh my gosh. He's so cute. Those big brown eyes. Man, oh man, oh man. So, and then, sorry, it's the heat. I have to tell you guys, I'm like, it's like 102 and I have to stand here and I'm starting to like, oh. But the guy who plays Wolverine.
Hugh Jackman.
Thank you. Oh, I would love to work with him. I think he's great too. Yeah. So anyway, I'm putting up the hair now. It's driving me crazy. Here's the fan.
One comment from a horror show says, just to say that you were so awesome in the movies, the series would not be the same without you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you for acknowledging and, you know, the character of Alice Johnson, you know, I think she's such a neat character and we've all been like an Alice Johnson, I think at some point in our life, you know, where we don't want to live in reality. We want to live in daydreams. We want to hide from the world. And I think a lot of that resonates with a lot of people. So, and it was an honor to play her, you know, it really was. So thank you.
Yeah. And, one thing I was thinking real quick, because, you know, reading your bio and everything, it says you were in the corporate world. I know you had the business for a while. Was the business you were doing, was it entertainment related or was it not?
It was no, but it was artistic in the sense that we, Tuesday designed these jewelry and we sold costume jewelry that we sold wholesale to boutiques and department stores. We were in Nordstrom, we were in Kohl's, we were in all kinds of stores, and we literally started this business at home in our home. And then we were getting orders, and then we were hiring our girlfriends to make what they were with illusion bad toe rings with charms on them with Swarovski crystal, like a mermaid, like a palm tree, like a bird, like a happy face, like all these things were your toes, illusion band, not metal. And no one had done this before. It was a new invention, and we were in all the magazines, and it grew and grew and grew to where I was doing, we had a huge distribution in Japan, and I was flying to Japan doing Shopping Channel. And of course we did a lot of gift shows and all the magic in Las Vegas, all those shows you have to do with your booth to, you know, do all that. So it became entertainment in a way, cause I was doing Shopping Channel stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And, oh my gosh, we had a great time. We had a great run. Really
so when you're doing this kind of stuff, like when you're going to do these other kinds of shows and you are getting clients and everything, did anyone like recognize you or TJ?
Oh yeah. Awesome. They recognized us from Nightmare 4. It was part of our selling point. So we got in a lot of magazines and had editorial done on us as well because we were Nightmare on Elm Street together and then had started this company, you know? So yeah, it definitely played to our advantage.
That's awesome. I didn't know what the business was, and then I was like, I can imagine her working like some big like banking job or something. And being like, so I'm just being like, I'm going to Google this lady, and he's like, huh? Like, what?
Oh gosh,
no.
It was a great.
Should have tried to get Robert Englund to show off it a little bit.
Yeah,
show his feet.
The toe ring,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, toe ring. Yeah, or just had one with like a little, you know, like the glove as a charm.
Oh, I know, head. Right?
I would have wore it. I'm just saying.
We had bats. We did have bat toe ring. It was in, you know, it was very popular for Halloween, and with a little pumpkin, you know. But we had almost over 200 different.
Oh wow!
Designs from beach stuff to initials to flowers, and oh my gosh, no, it was a blast because, you know, definitely very artistic venture.
I was thinking about it like all day. I don't know why. That was one of the things I'm just like, I wonder if that ever happened. And now I know. No one's talking about it.
That's right.
any more questions, Leo, in the chat room?
No, but one thing we didn't mention, let me bring up the picture right here. You didn't mention you were also in Star Trek Next Generation for an episode.
Yes, I was.
Playing a very memorable character.
Waiting for that to come.
Yes. Worked with Patrick Stewart, Jonathan Frakes. I mean, the whole crew. That was about an 8-day shoot at the Paramount lot, which is my favorite lot. It's beautiful. And you can't believe the soundstage. I mean, the soundstage is massive, and you walk in, you literally feel like you're on another planet. Because you know, there's with the story that they had. And my character got killed in the end. Jonathan Frakes were falling in love, but he ultimately has to phaser me out. And they don't do that very often on Star Trek. So it became sort of a well-noticed episode to where I'm actually on a property on the Star Trek Next Gen Monopoly board. My character, Utah. I'm known as the Assassin. And I am a property on the Monopoly board. So, that's and cool. They've done trading cards and stuff like that too. So again, awesome. Really neat story, sad story. And that one, believe me, there was a lot of actresses for that. So man, I'm so glad I got that role. Really cool role.
That's so awesome. Now they need to make a Nightmare on Elm Street Monopoly game that combines like all the episodes or all the movies. You know, so you could be a property on there too.
We should Google it and see. Maybe they have done one, but I haven't heard one. You know what? I doubt they've done one because I would have seen one at a convention and been signing it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a great. All right, I'm writing that down too. Okay, I'm calling.
I want to know what the pieces will be. Yeah. What would the pieces be?
Oh, you'd
have a telephone with Freddy's mouth on it with the tongue.
Waterman.
Oh, I would so want to be on the team designing that, right? Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, that'd be
so
awesome.
Fun.
Since you're using, like, all the movies, I'd use, like, one or two icons from, like, every different movie. So
yeah.
The waterbed, the glove.
Little nunchucks.
Little nunchucks.
Yep. Right?
Yeah,
that one with the stretch-out arms.
Little marionette.
Now, what do you think, just real quick, because I know we're going to wrap things up, but what do you think of, like, there's been shows that, you know, pay homage to Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, more recently, Rick and Morty have a character, Scary Terry, and it's totally, he's got gloves on both hands, but do you think, like, how do you feel about that? I think obviously, I think it's great because I'm a fan. But they kind of bastardize it at the same time. But I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I'm just glad. I hope Nightmare on Elm Street is talked about for decades and decades to come. So whatever it takes to keep it prolific, I'm fine. You know, it's fine. You know, got to have a sense of humor about it too. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's cool.
Yeah, but South Park did it.
I think it's absolutely tremendous. I mean, that Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street, has infiltrated the world. I mean, it's part of pop culture in so many countries, you know? And, you know, back then, I had no idea that I would be almost 30 years later talking about Nightmare on Elm Street and doing autograph shows and, you know, all this kind of thing. I had no idea, you know? So it's a pretty awesome franchise to be in, I think.
Awesome.
So couple items. Stephen Chang says he's asking for a Nightmare on Elm Street Ouija board for Lisa to sign. Oracle 684 says this is awesome. She's going to be at Flashback Weekend next month. And if you want to see where Lisa's going to be, check the show notes. Go to her website and you'll find all the events there. And the last question of the night, Horror yes. Show is asking any crazy bloopers that you remember.
Oh, wait, a motorcycle just went by. I'm sorry, what was that? Any crazy bloopers.
Any crazy bloopers?
Crazy what?
Bloopers or gags or, you know.
That's been played on me?
During the filming.
What happened on the set?
Oh.
Well, besides the glass blowing up in your face, anything just, you know.
I wish I could say, but no, there weren't any really gags, you know. We were working really hard, and we were young actors and actresses, and we didn't want to, you know, ruffle any feathers. We were very serious about our job, you know. So no. And now, as a mature, now having worked a lot in this and that, yeah, spoofs will definitely happen on set. Okay, I can tell you, not on Nightmare on Elm Street, but on Star Trek. It wasn't meant to happen, but what happened is there's a scene, and I am the Sovereign's food taster to make sure it's not poisoned, and also her chef. So Jonathan Frakes' character, we're falling in love, and I make him dinner. So I serve him the dinner, and it's this like green jello things. It's called Parthas a la Yuta is what he calls it. So he's eating this jello, and all of a sudden the director says, cut. And we're looking at Jonathan, and his teeth have turned green. So whoever had made this prop, you know, whatever, green food dye, was staining his teeth.
Oh,
so we stopped filming for almost 2 hours because they had to go get, like, peroxide. They had to get the green off his teeth. He was not happy, and I would not be either. But anyway, looking back, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's awesome. There's been a lot of bloopers on Star Trek. Matter of fact, there's I think two huge volumes that you can buy. I have them. They're in a box somewhere.
I love bloopers.
But I think it's funny that Leo just said, I think there's two huge volumes you can buy. I have them. They're in a box.
I have them.
So you know that there's two huge volumes because you bought them.
Yep.
Don't try to cover it up. You have a problem. Don't cover it up.
I do. I want to thank everybody for watching today. I want to make sure you know, check the show notes down below or up above. Ton of links for Lisa, where to follow her. You can check out Clinger. You can check out, what was the Mark Hamill movie? Watchers Return.
They call it Watchers Reborn or Watchers 4.
One or the other.
Yeah.
One or the other. I've seen both titles around.
Fear Clinic is another one to check out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But show notes right down below. And make sure you tune in next week. Next week we have Bianca Brady from Wormwood. She's going to be our special guest. But Lisa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Out of all the social medias that you're currently on, where do you like to follow people, or where do you like people to follow you the most, interact with you the most?
Probably Twitter or Instagram. Probably. I love Instagram because it's fun to put up the pictures and stuff like that. But Twitter too. Yeah. But wherever you guys feel comfortable, come visit me.
Awesome. Thank you. Yo, yo.
You can find me at boymeetsphone.com, also boymeetsphone on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you're doing your social media. I should probably be there. Also, New England Comic Con Reviews at anycomicconreviews.com. And, of course, every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday on The Dorkney.
Tony.
You'll find me on Tony Has Nine Fingers on YouTube, on Twitter, and on Horror Amino. You can also find me on Instagram, Tony's Movies, where I show off my collection behind me.
Wolfie.
You can catch me on YouTube, The 13th Wolfman, Twitter at The 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman The Prowl, every Sunday on The Dorking, and every Tuesday on Wicked Horror Show, doing Horror One with Kevin. When we're done with that, we'll be doing Wicked Horror Reviews.
Kevin.
A-Knuckle on Twitter, Instagram, A-Knuckle3 on Snapchat, as well as every Sunday on The Dorkening, every Tuesday on Wicked Horror Show, and doing the reviews with Wolfie.
And you heard it mentioned a bunch of times. We do a bunch of shows, so make sure you tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. for The Dorkening, or sometimes Wicked Horror, every Tuesday at 9 p.m. for Wicked Horror, and every Thursday for The Ultimate Video Game Show. And we get absolutely no sleep whatsoever.
By we, you mean you.
Yes, exactly.
I was going to say, I sleep fine.
Make sure you you subscribe to us wherever you're watching. We're now streaming on YouTube, Twitch, Periscope, and two different Facebooks.
So, yeah, there's that. Yeah.
Download it, throw it on a cassette tape. Listen yep. to it, walk
cassette
it.
Tape?
Have it put on vinyl.
Yeah.
A-track. I don't know.
Little right. mini disc. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.